So hi everyone, I'm Carrie, for those of you who I haven't met, hello in person and those online. Some of you I recognize, some I don't. So I'm one of the guiding teachers here at Seattle Insight. And the purpose of these groups during a retreat is to have some back and forth around the instructions. So if there is any confusion or questions or challenges that you're having with the instruction, this is a good time to bring those forward and just have some dialogue around it. It's also a really good time to just say what you've been noticing as we've been working and practicing, meditating. So I think it's helpful to hear a little bit, especially in a silent retreat, hear other people describe what they've been noticing in the practice, and also to hear ourselves describe what we've been noticing. So with that, it's never a forced march, so no requirement to share your deepest or any pressure to share anything profound. No pressure around that. So whatever you'd like to share or ask about what you've been noticing so far with these instructions, and especially if there are any clarification questions. And it sounds like Patrick's going to be helping with the mic for those in the room, but also it looks like there's already a hand online too. So Suzanne, did you have a question? Great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear? Good, good, good. Thank you. I understand the importance of realizing that thinking is part of meditation, but what when thought arises, especially in this last sit, I'll just go back to the anchor. I'm not so sure how to be with it in the way that Toeri was referencing, so I just didn't do anything other than just go back to the anchor. So, and I know that Toeri spoke about she would further develop that this afternoon, but I'm wondering if you might say a few words about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
And I think it's helpful to have that attitude of just being willing to experiment. So sometimes we can have kind of a meditator's mind or certain assumptions that get lodged and held as we practice. And Toeri was referencing some of those this morning. Like if we're on the breath, we're doing our meditation right. If we're thinking, somehow we're off the mark or we're doing meditation wrong. So even though we might not have that as a conscious thought, it can be there in the background. Oh, breath means I'm on the right track. Anything else means I've erred in some way. But if we can step back a little bit and say that overall with practice, what we're wanting to do is really understand how this mind works, right? We need to understand how it works, how it gets caught up, how it gets freed or released. So we need to understand it more widely. So there are times when going back to the breathing is absolutely the most helpful thing to do. And there's nothing wrong about doing that. We can do that and notice the effect or the result. Okay, I'm here now. I can feel myself landing. I know where I am. I know when I'm on the breath. I know when I'm off the breath. I've got reference points that might feel somewhat familiar. But the direction in practice is to not have any part left out, right, of our exploration. So you can have the breathing be there in the background as an anchor or reference point you can go back to at any time. But basically now you're opening the scope. You're turning the lens on the mind in a different way. And rather than viewing thinking as a distraction, something you need to get away from or get rid of, you're kind of opening it up and saying, okay, who's going to walk in the door next? Let's see, with some interest and some curiosity and some not knowing. Can have my breathing be there in the background, but let's just see if I can turn towards this thinking aspect of my mind so that I can understand it. Not so I have to condemn it or control it, but so that I can just start to understand what's happening. So Tori mentioned two ways this morning. We can like a whisper of a note of recognition that allows a little bit of space. Okay, am I going into the past or the future? Am I wandering? You know, wandering feels very different than judging. You know, judging can feel tight and constricted. When our minds are wandering, they're like drifting. Oh, what about this? Oh, what about that? I wonder what so-and-so thinks about, you know, it's drifty, wandering. So we start to get to know the different movements of the mind. And that's the very first step of disidentifying from our thinking, disentangling. The part that knows what's happening is not completely embedded in it, at the mercy of it. So that labeling is one part. And knowing the overall, Tori mentioned it as the nature of mind. So that has more of a felt quality to it. Is this contracted or spacious? Is this distracted or concentrated? And the key with this noticing is that that interrupts our preferences, right? And so it can actually interrupt a lot of the frustration that starts to build in practice. I'm scattered, but I should be focused. Yeah. I'm judgmental, but I should be peaceful. It starts to just give more of a sense of a natural rhythm, a little bit more of a distance from what's happening. We know what's happening, but we're not so invested in it going a certain way. Okay, I'm getting long-winded, so I'm going to stop.
No, that's helpful, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you bringing that forward. And I know we don't have a lot of time, so I want to hear from others as well. Yeah, Claire. And there's some others in the room too.
Hi. So this practice of labeling our thoughts is kind of new to me. I haven't been doing meditation for that long, maybe like a little over a year. So this is kind of new. So the idea that our thoughts are, that we don't have to take our thoughts seriously, but they're just things that go in and out of our minds, just like any other sensation, is kind of a new idea to me. And it makes a lot of sense, but I guess my question is, like right now, I'm kind of just feel like I'm following instructions. So when we're doing the meditation and I'm like labeling my thoughts as this is a thought of planning, or this is the thought of judgment, or this is this type of thought, blah, blah, blah. It's really helping the practice, and I can see that it's a really useful tool, but I'm still kind of finding myself feeling like I'm just following instructions. Like I still believe the thoughts that are there. So I guess my question is like, how do you, or when do you get to a point where you really fully believe that your thoughts are just thoughts? Because right now I'm just putting the label on the thoughts and kind of like moving on, but I still believe the thoughts. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, but you know what's happening. You know what's happening. So that's the you can't do anything without that. So that's the start of the disentangling. So just keep going and know what it's like to recognize thinking as thinking. Like you notice, okay, oh, that's interesting. Ah, that's a slightly different take on it. Yeah. So you don't have to go through a heavy-handed process of deconstructing every thought that goes through your head, right? Just notice, oh, it has a beginning and it has an end. Yeah. If I don't pick it up and run with it, it actually fades out just like the sound of the plane. Right. So we're just, and it's fine to just follow the instructions. We don't, that's why it's a practice. You don't have to get to the end result right now. It's a practice. But just even the way you described it, you can notice there's a little bit of space. There's a slightly different perspective than what you're used to. So that's good. And we're all believing our thoughts most of the time. So nothing remedial about that, right? Thank you, Cora.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think Deborah, did you have something too?
Yeah.
So maybe after, okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so what I observed that I had a lot of emotions with my thoughts and I wanted to just, and then I would think, oh, this is the problem solver in me trying to solve the problem, and there are all these emotions, and so I just would go back to my anchor because I just didn't want to deal with the emotions that came with it. So I'm just not sure.
And that can be skillful. Again, you're aware of what's happening, but you might let the anchor be there in the background and see if you can just like turn towards just a little bit. You know, often there's a fear of overwhelm. If emotions have been really strong in the past and have kind of taken us over, and the breath has been a sanctuary and a stabilizing, you're not abandoning it forever, but you can let yourself kind of land and settle there and then just experiment. Okay, can I open to this a little bit? Let's let this in. Often with emotions, the stories are really overwhelming, but if we're with it more as a physical, more at the level of sensation and movement in the body, it can be slightly less overwhelming. So dropping into the body, that's fear. We might notice what's happening in our belly or chest or hands. So... But thoughts and emotions go very close. They're very entangled. Yeah. But with a little bit of distance, we can see they're feeding each other. But by staying closer to the bodily experience, it really helps not getting entangled in the story. Oh, this is going to go on forever. I don't know if I can handle this. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, I don't know which emotions you're working with, but that's what my mind often does, you know? So it tends to be a lot bigger, wider, forever, very personal, rather than a mind movement in a moment.
So the question was that my emotions...
So when the emotions are overwhelming as a coping mechanism or whatever, right? Like not to be just totally taken by it, what I was doing is just going back to my anchor. And part of me was saying, well, you are getting carried away by something that you have no control, like this emotion or whatever is causing this emotion. So what's the point of it? So just go back to the anchor. Mm. That was my mind was constantly battling with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then there's a conclusion around that, right? Or an assumption that it's too much for me to handle. There's also an assumption that it says something about me, mm-hmm. that it's real, that mm-hmm. it has some truth in it that's personal to me. That can be very overwhelming. That feels overwhelming. Yeah, so I think there's probably some room just to experiment with opening to it a little bit. Not believing the story, but opening to it as an experience. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, this exercise was just so interesting. And it'd been a long time since I'd done the labeling of thoughts.
Yeah.
And that was, but the quality of the walking meditation, doing it on the walk and doing it in the sit, was totally different. Like, you know, I'm walking and thoughts come up and I'm labeling them. And then at some point, I'm trying to call up thoughts and they vanish. I'm just back to the anchor of the steps and maybe seeing what's around, but where are my thoughts? Where are they gone? I want to label them and I couldn't find them. And then in the sit, there's this other thing here. I'm labeling thoughts and then these visualizations come up and I can't label them. Wait, I'm getting into a dream state and I don't want that.
Mm.
And so instead of a thought that I could label, it was something else. I'm seeing something that's, you know, and you know, I'm just falling asleep. So you have to get back to back to the anchor. So the whole thing was just, and that, so the quality of the walking and sitting was so different.
Yeah. So helpful. Good. And I mentioned this in the last group, but with any technique like labeling, we can, it can be helpful or it can be unhelpful at times if we're over, you know, if there's a trace of judgment in it or if we're overdoing it. So I think it's great that Tuari also mentioned just noticing the overall state. So like you were mentioning, Deborah, just mentioning that you're getting into kind of a drifty place or like kind of drifty, more diffuse, just that we can notice that also. Okay, this is what it's like when the mind is focused, not making one right or one wrong, but this is what it's like when I start to drift or there's dullness. This is what it's like when it's more focused, more concentrated. And yeah, getting out of the value judgment around it, but just noticing how that's shifting. Those are shifting all the time. Okay, Bob, is that?
I think Adrienne's trying to
have it. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Thank you for taking our questions and making yourself available. Hello, everyone. My question is, I noticed yesterday after Tuari gave us the first instruction on mindfulness of the body in terms of entering through the sense doors and then sort of just allowing that to be like the entry or the gateway to whatever other experiences arises as we're doing our meditation. And I noticed, and then also when we talked about Vedana as well, after sort of entering through the sense doors, and I noticed that in my sits after that, that my meditation sort of became this internal guided meditation where like I sat down and I just said, okay, what am I feeling? The breeze across my skin or what am I hearing? And I noticed it just kind of took a trail of what am I feeling? What am I thinking? And so I'm trying to find the balance between this sort of automatic internal guided meditation that just took over now that I got this instruction versus still being able to stay with the anchor of my breath. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's something new that came up for me recently.
Yeah, it's and I don't know if this feels right to you, but it's a little bit what I was describing before. Sometimes we get just zealous with a new instruction, right? And we kind of maybe over apply it. So you want with the senses, you don't want to be like bouncing around asking yourself like an interrogating question, you know, like, okay, what am I feeling now? What's happening now? That can be driven a little bit by restlessness, right? So, see if you can step back a little bit from that and in a more open way, and maybe in a bit slower way, you could just check in with one of your sense doors, right? You don't have to stay there for all time, but start slow, start simple. Don't try not to bounce around too much. You can notice when you're getting carried away and when you're returning. So you could use the senses as an anchor, yes, that you can come back to, because hearing is always happening, touching is always happening. But like we've been talking about today, you can also notice what the mind is doing with that, right? And make that part of the meditation. So again, if you're getting drifty or scattered, we kind of have two moves when we notice that, right? Like we've been talking about, when you notice we're wandering, we're getting consumed by thinking or a situation that's happening, we can either come immediately back to the anchor, which is more the calming, steadying, stabilizing aspect of practice, which is important. But the more insight side of practice is that it turns towards that mind itself and starts to notice the nature of that mind. Okay, so when I'm there, I am with my sense door of hearing, and all of a sudden my mind is drifty and wandery and a bit scattered. So we look right at that, yeah, with as much kind of openness and discernment as possible. Just clearly seeing, okay, this is what it's like when the mind is scattered. This is what it's like when the mind is really caught up with wanting something. Right?
Thank you.
I hope that helps. I'm sure others have similar questions. Thank you. All right, everyone, we need to stop for now. So there'll also be groups in the afternoon, and Tweri will be offering those groups, and also be a Q&A today. So there'll be time for more dialogue. So thanks so much for your questions, comments.